Do your head like this. Just like this. It's Dukes and Bell. We're at Twisted Ore. Just ran into Brody, Mike. Brody's a dog. Just graduated. His dad, who's sitting back there by one of our big signs.
He's a good American right there.
Yeah, says 92.9 the game. Him and his dad are up here, but he said, man, I've called into you guys numerous times. He said, the day you guys broke that news about Tua, I was on my way back from Tifton.
Got a girlfriend in Tifton. apparently his girlfriend's by the Big Peanut.
So he was like, man, I'm driving all the way up listening to you guys. We appreciate it. Brody, man, good kid. He's got a bright future, so thanks for being out here.
It's funny, Carl. I'm 58 this summer. When do you retire? As long as we stay number one, I guess we don't have to. But talking to some guys that are on the cusp here at the bar.
Yeah.
But appreciate you guys listening to 92.9 The Game.
Thank you, sir.
Listen to Andy Randy Steakhouse, The Morning Shift. And speaking of the station, we're the flagship of your Atlanta Falcons. And today we had some developing stories.
Yeah, we did. Mark Raimondi's here from ESPN. He covers the team on a daily basis. Friend of the show. And Mark, we start with this news of trading for an offensive lineman. Can you fill our listeners in on what's behind this and what's going on up there with the O-line?
Well, just a few minutes ago, guys, I'm sure that you've seen the Falcons place Storm Norton, offensive tackle, on the reserve/physically unable to perform list. So he is going to be out now, as he was for all of last season after ankle surgery. So that was definitely one of the things that necessitated that move to acquire Wanye Morris from Kansas City, a guy who started 16 games for the Chiefs at both tackle positions over the last three seasons. So they need, for the second straight, off-season summer, they need depth at tackle, especially right tackle. And that's what they look to do. Mm. And, he's going to be competing with, Juwan Taylor, who's still banged up from last season. He's not fully back. He's not been practicing a lot. So Michael Jarrell has been the guy getting most of the reps for the first team right now at right tackle. Of course, there's still some other guys. The rookie last year, Jack Nelson. But right. It looks like it's going to be a several man competition right now for that spot.
We were talking about Juwan Taylor and, kind of, for lack of a better word, his fall from grace, from being considered part of the best offensive lines, and a bigger picture problem with the Kansas City Chiefs the last couple of years. Getting away from the better version of a Yips, right, and the false starts. So in your mind right now, Mark, who's our starting, right tackle blindside week one?
Yeah, I mean, that is a great question. I don't know. Maybe it ends up being Morris. It's really hard to say. It seems like he was going to be the odd man out in Kansas City, from what they've been saying over there. But right now, I would say it's up in the air. I really don't know who it might be.
Wow.
Certainly still could be Taylor. Still could be Juwan Taylor. It's not going to be Storm Norton. We know that for now. But that's Caleb McGarry retires, and people had a lot of bad things to say about Caleb McGarry over the last several seasons. And boy, the grass is not always greener, gentlemen.
Right. Be careful what you wish for.
No, it's true. Mark Raimondi joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk all things Falcons. Next week, mandatory minicamp. James Pierce Jr. is going to be there, right? He's going to be there, right?
I don't know if James Pierce Sr. is going to be there. I'm not sure about James Pierce Jr. either, Carl. I'm not sure if he's either junior, senior, the third, the fourth. I'm not sure. But that is one of the big questions. That's one of the big stories, I would say, going into this minicamp. Will he be there or not? And whose decision would that be? I feel like it would probably be the team's decision if he's not there, because they probably don't know what the NFL is going to do. They don't know what they're going to do. But from a legal standpoint, guys,
he can be there.
He's in a pretty decent spot right now.
Right,
if
bring
he
it.
Stays out of trouble for a year. Doesn't fail any drug tests. Doesn't get arrested. Doesn't violate anything. Stays away from Rakia Jackson, his ex-girlfriend. He's going to get those charges dismissed. So right now, from a legal perspective, he has a pass. Whether or not, he's going to start the season, if he's going to get suspended, he probably will. I don't know for how many games, but that is now the question. The legal thing is, we know. Now we got to figure out what the NFL and what the Falcons are going to do.
Talking to our man Mark Raimondi, guys, from ESPN.com. He's a hell of a man, Carl, and a hell of a wrestler. Joins us here on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline, live from a great spot, by the way, at the Twisted Ore in Lake Lanier. So getting back to the big picture here, I mean, we've always felt that, the NFL moves at a glacial pace, and you really can't use the Rashee Rice situation because it's apples to oranges. Mm-hmm. But if the Falcons, I mean, do you think the Falcons know what the NFL is going to do? Because we're of the opinion.
I don't believe they do.
Okay, so
I
then let's force the NFL's hand to bring Pierce Jr. in. I know the state of Florida upgraded what the local jurisdiction did from a 6-month to a year probation period.
Correct.
But if he's keeping his nose clean, why can't he work?
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. I get the feeling that at some point they're going to have to do that, right? They're going to have to just say, you know what, like, and it may not be next week, guys. It might be training camp, right? You know,
right.
At that point, there is an official 90-man roster at that point, and he has the right to be, to be there if they're going to continue with that. They could put him on the commissioner's exempt list. That's possible, but as of right now, is there really a reason to do that? I'm sure they've done their investigations. I'm sure they've seen all the video. I mean, I can't imagine they haven't by now, right? It's been months. You know, this is February we're talking about here. So
right.
I'm not sure when the decision might come down, but maybe it will be before training camp.
All right, Mark. We got some pretty forthcoming stuff from quarterbacks coach Alex Van Pelt. What's your take on some of the things that he said in regards to footwork and the things that they're working on and how he sees this between Tua and Michael Penix?
Well, the most interesting thing that he said, and maybe it wasn't, maybe it shouldn't have been as interesting as we took it, but he said right now there is no competition right now between, you know, Tagovailoa and Penix, because how could there be? Penix can't even do 11-on-11. You know, he can't do the same thing. So how can you adequately evaluate both guys if they're not even able to do the same thing? So that's understandable, right? You know, they're right now you can't really look at it as a competition. But what does that mean? If it's not a competition, does that mean it's Tua's job right now? Is he the number one? You know, is there no number one right now at this point in time? You know, how do you interpret that? That's the question. And then the footwork stuff is something that, you know, Kevin Stefanski has said a few times also over the last few months about that being kind of a foundation of what he likes to do with quarterbacks, is kind of get their feet in order. And that is something that Alex Van Pelt is, I guess, working with those guys on a lot. And honestly, you know, for a guy like Penix, not the worst thing to work on, because there have been mechanical lapses, I would say. Is that fair? With some of the stuff that we've seen from him over the last, you know, three seasons, where, you know, there have certainly been times and plays where it does not look like he has the right. I mean, and you know, this is the NFL. Things do happen, but it does look like at times he's out of position or his legs are not right. They're not under him. You know, he's not moving the right way, or what have you. So, getting back to basics, I guess, right now.
Are you saying you don't believe in Penix?
Why are you putting words in my mouth?
I want to see you get triggered and get all the hate mail that I get every day.
You know what, Mark? I'm not going to do that. Mark does a great job. Let me say this. He does a great job of non-biased coverage.
Fair and balanced.
Of giving you the information. But I will say there will be people who hear you say that and they will call us or text us and they will say that. They will be like, okay, well, if he's got to go back and do all this work, then – and that becomes the big question. I know you're just giving us the facts, but it is an interesting tidbit there about where Penix is.
But this is not just Penix, guys. I mean, they're not talking about Penix just doing these drills with footwork. They're talking about both guys. We didn't watch Tua every day the way we have Penix the last few years, right? So we don't know. We don't necessarily know intimately the stuff that he has to work on. But a guy that threw as many interceptions as he did last year, he probably needs to work on some of that footwork stuff too. So, you know, who's to say that they're both not getting stuff out of this, you know, going back to the basics.
Let's get Mark Raimondi to trigger the audience some more, Carl.
What are you going to ask him now?
I mean, I can trigger the audience if you want. I mean, I don't know. The Knicks had a pretty big comeback last night.
No, Mark.
Here you go.
My dad's up in heaven with Dave DeBush here. They're drinking shots right now. But we're talking about the Falcons, Mark. Please focus. Where we are, I thought last season, if you had to talk about, like, Michael Penix Jr., I thought it was good, bad, and ugly. And it was more bad and ugly than good. But it's also two things can be true. The franchise did not help him with Zach Robinson, you know, with the way that the offense was designed. Now, does he take a leap this year under Kevin Stefanski? Or is it still come down to you're coming off an injury and Falcon fans should temper their expectations because Tua's got the high ground in this battle?
Well, and I would also say that talking about the situation, I mean, Penix, Darnell Mooney was never right all season last year, right?
His correct.
Number two wide receiver.
Drake was hurt.
Got released very early in the season, and okay. and he was working with, you know, the David Stills of the world and the and the Dylan Drummonds of the world.
Casey
Washington after Drake London, Casey right. Washington, who by the way was a healthy scratch the last half of the season. You know, that was a wide receiver room that was really, not very deep and really, frankly, not very good last year. So you have to give him, a little bit of leeway there, a little bit. But one thing that I've always said, guys, is there was a distinct change to me in Michael Penix last year compared to when he started the last games of 2024. I thought in 2024 he was playing loose, he was playing free, he was playing the way that he knows how to play. And
yes.
then something changed last season where – either he was pressing or whatever, but man, he made some throws at the end of 2024 that you were like, okay, this could be the guy, because remember that throw to the sidelines to Kadarius Hodge late in the season? I mean,
yeah.
My goodness, and he was not making throws like that last season. For some reason, something changed, whether it was the offense or the lack of weapons or what it was, but something changed. He was not the same guy. Maybe he was banged up. Maybe there were some. There were some injuries even before the ACL, but he was not right. He did not appear to be the same quarterback as he was.
Mark Ramondi from ESPN wrapping things up here, guys, on the Sweet James Accident Attorney Hotline. Mark, my thing is, like, I always use the Berlin game as kind of the nutshell of the Falcons season. Kyle Pitts drops a touchdown pass on the first drive. Conversely, later in the game, there's a blitz, mm-hmm. and Michael Penix has diagnosed the play, called an audible, which Pitts has missed. How much do you expect Pitts to really get coached up, or more of a sense of urgency or accountability he didn't have under the previous regime under Stefanski and co?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It is the same position coach. It's Kevin Coger, a tight end, which is I think he's a good coach, and he's a guy that has gotten some offensive coordinator look
mentions, right?
Yes. But Kevin Stefanski is a guy. He was a tight end coach. And if you look at his career historically, he has featured tight ends in his offenses pretty highly. And you look at David Njoku and what he did in Cleveland, right? So I think that they're really, really going to make sure that Kyle Pitts is a major part of this offense, which, as we know, so far in his career, there have been games and months where Kyle Pitts has disappeared. And we're not seeing Kyle Pitts on the stat sheet, and we're not seeing him on the field making plays. And sometimes that changes, and he can make plays in bunches, right? Which happened toward the end of last season when he was kind of the featured guy with London out and a pretty poor wide receiver room. So I think you have to hope. You have to hope. But again, fans have done a lot of hoping with Kyle Pitts. So it still feels like we don't know. And I think that's why they're hesitating about giving him a long term contract. I think they want to see this
right.
season. Hey, can you do it 2 years in a row? He
yeah. prove it
2 years in a row. Okay, well then you're our guy. But if you can't, we might have to make some other, make some hard decisions.
Totally agree. Since you're my guy, before we let you get out of here, go ahead and gloat, man. Where were you last night as the Knicks won that game? Were you at the house? Were you watching it? Were you watching with somebody?
I gotta be honest. My wife was. She went to bed early. She's on the radio. She's on Spanish radio here in Georgia.
Yes. La Raza, sí, señor.
Yeah, she's your competitor, your rival. So she has to be in bed early. She's a morning drive.
Right.
So I'm just sitting there watching it myself, texting my dad. Because we, when I was a kid, my dad remembers the '70s Knicks. He was a big Knicks fan in the '70s when they won the last time they won. And just sitting there, and me and him have been texting these whole playoffs. Every game we're texting. And then I think second quarter, I was like, I got to take a little bit of a break from this game because
right. it was over.
It's ugly. It's not. It's like I can't. I don't know how the Spurs wouldn't. They were not missing a three-pointer. I mean, it was like they were just chucking it from the logo, and it would go in every time. And it was like I can't stand to watch this anymore. I'm starting to lose it a little bit. So took out my laptop, my phone, messing around, half watching the game. And then the third quarter, I texted my dad. I was like, if they can just get it to 15 points or less at the end of the third quarter, they have a shot. It's manageable. That's what I texted him. And he was like, you're right. And they ended up getting it to 15 points at the end of the third quarter. And then I knew that there was a chance, just because this team historically, I mean, this team, this season, this playoff, they come back. You know, they have come back. They are incredibly resilient. Yeah. And you need a little help from the other guys, too. The Spurs played pretty terrible in the second half, right? They made some incredibly boneheaded moves. You know, everything that was going right for them in the first half went the opposite in the second half. And the Knicks won in the greatest comeback in the history of the NBA Finals. And,
oof.
I mean, when Anunoby hit, when he tipped it in, I was losing my mind just here alone in my apartment watching the game. It was incredible.
Great stuff. Mark, I'll tell you this. Cherish that time with Pops, man.
Right on.
I miss texting Dad and doing that same thing. So that's amazing,
it's been,
man.
It's been the best, guys. It's been the best part of these playoffs for me.
It is.
It's connecting with my dad. And my dad lives in Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm going down there next week. And if it goes to Game 7, which, hey, I hope it doesn't. I hope the Knicks take care of it before Game 7. But if it goes to Game 7... I'll be able to watch with my dad in person in Fort Myers. So that'll be a nice consolation, too. As long as the Knicks win, that's all I'm saying.
That's right awesome. Mark, take care, man. Mark Raimondi, ESPN, moves by the Falcons today. If you missed it, going out and acquiring another offensive tackle. We'll hit more on this in the Falcon Report. Mark, thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
What don't we have, Carl? We're hanging out here at the Twisted Ore on Lake Lanier. Make some noise, studio audience. I said, make some noise, studio audience. There we go. There we go. Good time, fun time. Stop serving the radio host alcohol. But enough about Day-Day. We'll come back, Carl. We've got some stuff in Guy Talk. The memes. There's a million memes. Maybe the Falcons are off the hook for the choke of Super Bowl 51. Or not.